Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Kuf Yud Tes. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading, where you see a double underline feature, and we've noted these are a Sidra, a series of Rabbonim Be'erev Shabbos, a series of Rabbonim, and what they did in order to prepare for Shabbos. The general idea that we are about to learn is that, menial activities, but done in order to prepare for Shabbos, is something that is honorable, and even people of great distinction, would not be beneath their dignity to be involved with such activities. However, more than just preparation for Shabbos, we will see some additional points. Hence, we have this very general type introduction, simply Rabbonim Be'erev Shabbos. So we start with the first double underline, Rabbi Chanino, Me'atef V'koi Apanyo Demali Shabbato. Me'atef is to cloak himself in pleasant and nice clothing, and he would stand. Erev Apanyo Demali Shabbato is in the evening, ushering in Shabbos. Omar, and he would say, Bo'u v'netze likras Shabbos Samalko. Let us go out and greet the Sabbath queen. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yanai lovish monei b'mali Shabbos. Rabbi Yanai would cloak himself, would put on his Shabbos clothing, the Omar, and he would say, Bo'i kalo, welcome, come my bride. And Rashi mentions that this reference to Shabbos as his bride is mitoch chavivus, out of his feeling of love and endearment to Shabbos. Rabo bar Rav Huna iklo lebei Rabo bar Rav Nachman. So we have two Rabbonim whose name is Rabo, and we distinguish them through their fathers. Karivu le tlas savi tachi. So Rabo bar Rav Huna, who is the visitor, was presented with three savi, or sa'ah. Sa'ah is a measure. Tachi, Rashi says, are rikikin tochim pnei b'shuman alya o b'shemen. These are cakes that are smeared with oil. It's some type of delicacy, we'll say, baked delicacy, we'll say. Omar lay, so the visitor, Rabo bar Rav Huna, said, mihavu yadisun dasino, did you know that I was coming? In other words, they seem to have prepared these cakes, and in his eyes, they had prepared it in his honor. Now, it just so happens that this story is taking place on Friday or Shabbos, and Omru lay, they said to him, Mi adifas lon mina, are you greater than Shabbos? In other words, we prepared this for Shabbos, and we didn't know you were coming. But you can see how they went out of their way for Shabbos, so much so that even it was no less than one would prepare for a man of distinction. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Abba Zovan B'Tleisar Astiri Pshiti. Rabbi Abba purchased with this amount of money. Tleisar is 13. Astiri is a type of coin. Pshiti. Coins. So Rashi says, Sloyim. These are Astiri Pshiti Sloyim Medina. And Rashi explains the type of coinage. But for our purposes, 13 of these coins worth of Bisra, of meat. So Rabbi Abba purchased this amount of meat, mitlesar tabochi, from 13 different butchers, umashlim lehu atzinora didosha. Now, we'll have to go over this expression in the Rashi very shortly. It has to do with he placed the money at the entranceway. Tzinura didosha literally is the hole on which the door's hinge swivels. The omar lehu, and he would say to those inside, Ashur hai, Ashur hai. means do things quickly. This, of course, we said needs to be explained by Rashi. Rashi has two pshatim. So let's glance at the Rashi. The third narrow line, Umashlimu Atzino Dedosha, Lifnei Bo'om Lahovi Lo Habosar Hoya Mezamein Lohem Osehem Al Pishan. Before the butchers came with the meat, he already placed the money for the meat at their doorways, V'omer Lohen, and he told them, Ashur Hai, means his ashru his chasku maher bumenosechem. That means gird yourself with strength and diligence in your work. Lemaher velachzor velimkor velisasek b'tzorchei Shabbos, to continue selling and being involved with the preparation of Shabbos. So it seems to me that it was a type of blessing that Rabbi Abba was giving to the butchers that were providing him with his meat. However, there's another pshat. Velinire. What does that mean? Kishoya mevi rishona, when Rabbi Abba got his first order of meat, hoya noisno l'shamoshem hamechinim sudoso al pesach beso, he would place the meat at arm's reach of the servants that were in his house preparing the meal. He didn't go into the house. Rabbi Abba ran back. He didn't even waste time going into his house. He just left the meat at the entranceway for the servants to pick up, and he ran back out to get the other order. And he told his servants, Ashru Hei, means his Ashru, Maher, gird yourself with strength quickly, Lohochin es Zu, to prepare the portion I just left here, Ba'od Sheilich Lohavi es Zu. In other words, have it ready by the time I come back with the next portion of meat. So let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Avo, Havi Yosef, a taktiko deshina. Rabbi Avo sat on a taktiko is a stool made of ivory, and this was an expensive type of stool. And Rashi says that Rabbi Avo was a wealthy man, and he sat there umoshif nura, and he fanned the fire for Shabbos, the fire that was used for Shabbos preparation or for heat on Shabbos. But the point is you have this wealthy man sitting on this very expensive type of stool. He himself was fanning the fires. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Rav Onan Lovish Gunda. Rabbi Rav Onan, in order to be oisek with the Shabbos, he cloaked himself with a gunda. Gunda, Rashi says, is a black garment that is not a formal or a high quality or expensive garment, to show, to demonstrate that even though he was an important person, it's not the time for demonstrating your rank by wearing important clothing, but rather wearing this type of, we'll say, overalls for illustrative purposes. He wore them to be involved with the cooking for Shabbos, and he, of course, wouldn't wear for cooking purposes expensive clothing that might get soiled. The Gemara continues. The Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanaic source that it was taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, conveys this point. Begonim Shabisha Bohen Kedera L'Rabo, the clothing that one wears for cooking for the master, Al Yumzog Bohen Kos L'Rabo, one should not wear those same clothing that got all soiled from the cooking for serving the master, for serving his cup of wine. When you're standing face to face with the Rabo, with the master, you would want to look more presentable. The Gemara continues, Rav Safra, Machrich Reisha. Reisha is the head of an animal. Machrich is the process of singeing, which is hair removal of an animal's head. So he personally was involved with the hair removal through singeing the animal's head. Rava, Molach Shibuta. Rava, Molach is to salt, Shibuta is fish. He salted fish for Shabbos. Rav Huna, Madlik Shrogi. Rav Huna took care of lighting the sources of illumination, of light. This is not to be confused with, let's say, the actual hadlokas neros, which is something that his wife would have done. But as far as additional lighting, he took care of that. Rav Papa Godel Psilta. Rav Papa prepared the wicks. Rav Chisda Porim Silka. Purim is to shred or to cut something into fine pieces. So he cut the silka, type of vegetable, in honor of Shabbos. Rab of Rav Yosef, matzlichi tzivi. They split, matzlicha is to split, tzivi is wood. And Rabbi Zera, mitzatzis tzitzusi. He lit the tinder for the fire for Shabbos purposes. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Mekatzef Vayel Mekatzef Vinofik. Let's take a look at Rashi. Mekatzef Vayel Mekatzef Vinofik Be'erev Shabbos on Friday Yoytze V'nichnas Lahavi Tomid Masuos Klei Tashmish Uvigdei Choyfish Umigodim Ke'odim Shemekabelis Rabu Beiso. We're talking about Rav Nachman Yitzchok here would himself carry bundles of whatever was needed for Shabbos, different tools, clothing, fineries, just like a person was going to greet his master, his teacher. If you are anticipating the coming and you want to welcome a man of greatness, of distinction in your midst, you would go out of your way to trouble yourself for it. And that's what is described here. And he goes on in the Gemara to say, Omar, that's Rav Nachman Yitzchok would declare, Ilu Mekalin Li Rabbi Ami Ravasi, if these great leaders of his time, Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, were coming, Mi Lo Mekasifno Komai, would I not trouble myself? The word Mekasifno literally comes from the word Kosef, is shoulder. It has to do in this context with carrying burdens around, most likely carry things on your shoulders as well. The Ika the Amri, another version of this story, is Rabbi Ami Ravasi Mekasi Vaili Mekasi Vinofki. It was Rabbi Ami and Ravasi themselves who were preparing and carrying burdens around for Shabbos. The Amri, and they declared, Ilu Ikla Lon Rabbi Yochanan Mi Lo Mekasvinon Kamei. If Rabbi Yochanan, who was the great man in their generation, we're talking this is an earlier generation, if Rabbi Yochanan were coming, would we not trouble ourselves for him? And now the Gemara shares with us a story that may be, it's considered a well-known incident. We have a long marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the long Maisa marking, showing you the length. This is the story of Yosef Moikir Shabi. This involves, we've used a topic heading for this, to indicate thusly, this story involving Yosef, the one who honored Shabbos. So what's the story? So let's go through the Gemara. Yosef Mokir Shabbi. Yosef was a man who honored Shabbos. Havehahu Nochrib Shivuse. There was a Gentile in his neighborhood, Dahavin Nofish Defishi Nichsei Tuva, who was a very wealthy man. Nefishi means a lot, Nichsei are properties, and Tuva means a lot of. A lot, he had a lot of properties. Amri Le Kaldoi, the stargazers, Kaldoi are the stargazers, the fortune tellers, they told this Nochri, this Gentile, Kulu Nichsi, Yosef Mokishabi Ochiluhu, all of your properties will be consumed by this gentleman Yosef. Ozel Zavninhu, Hinhi, of course this Nochri was quite fearstruck of that, Ozel Zivninhu Lekulu Nichsi, he went and sold all of his property, Zavan Buhu Marganisa. And he bought with all the money a precious gem, Osva b'sayne. And he placed this gem in his hat. Sayne is his head covering, his hat. Behadi de ka'ovar mavro, as he, this Gentile, was crossing a bridge, Afruche zika, the wind blew, Shadye b'maya, and cast off the hat into the water. Bale kavra, and a kavra is a fish. Bale is the fish swallowed. Bale is to swallow. Askua, the fish was then fished out of the water somewhere downstream. Aisua apanya de male shabato, and it was brought up on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, Erev Shabbos. Amri, they asked, Man zovin ki hashtu, who's going to buy a fish now? Amalu zilu amtiu legabi Yosef moike shabi, the rogil de zovin. Go to Yosef, the one who honors Shabbos. He is accustomed to buying. He buys things in honor of Shabbos. And, of course, a big fish would be something that with which one could honor Shabbos. Amtiu nihale. So they brought this fish that happened to have swallowed the hat with the gem in it. They brought it to Yosef. Zavne, he bought it. Kare, he tore it open. Ashkech bei marganis, and he found inside the fish the precious gem. Zavne, Betlesar Elisa de Dinri Dava, and he sold, he was able to sell that gem for 13 attics full of gold. It's an expression that Rashi points out is a guzma biyama, it's an exaggeration, but it means he was able to sell it for a lot of money. Poga be hahu sabo, a certain old man met up with Yosef, Omar, and declared, man di Yosef shabato, pare shabato. One who literally is to Yosef is to borrow money, but we'll say in our terms, one who lays out money for Shabbos, Shabbos pays him back. Bo mine Rebbe me Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe asks of Rebbe Shmuel, Ashirim Sheberet Yisrael, Bema Hein Zochin. The wealthy of Israel, what merit do they have? Amarle, so Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi answered, B'shvil Shem Asrin, because they tithe in the land of Israel. You notice we should have pointed out just before, but you see diamonds in the next few lines. These highlight different areas. You can very quickly see we're looking for the merits of those in Eretz Yisrael. The next you see is Bavel, and afterwards Shebashar Arotzos. So how is it? What is the merit that the wealthy in Israel have? So he answers, because they tithe. Now, as you are probably familiar, the concept or the practice of tithing is something that is bound to the land of Israel, tithing produce. So in Eretz Yisrael, because they are those who are diligent in tithing, they merit wealth. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Aser te Aser. This is a Pasuk exhorting us to be diligent in tithing. And we darshan this pasuk, we explain aser b'shvil shetis asher. We separate tithes in order to gain wealth. Shebe bovel b'mayin zochin. What about the wealthy in Bovel? What's their merit? Omar le, b'shvil shemechabden es haTorah. Because in Bovel, those who are wealthy are people that honored the Torah. And Shebeshah Rotzus, Bamai Hein Zochin, what about the wealthy in other lands? Amalei Bishvil Shemechabdin Es HaShabbos. And we dashed underline that because that's really the focus of our of the upcoming Gemara. And we have another incident that lasts a number of lines. We have a long marking to the left-hand side of the Gemara, so you can see the length of this story. The Omar Rebichia Bar Abba Pam Achas Nisarachti Eitzel Balabayas Belutkia. It would seem that this place Lutkia is in the area that we classify here as Shar Arotzis. So he says, I once visited, I was hosted by a Balabayas, a homeowner, a person in Lutkia. That we said Lutkia was the name of a place. The Heviu, the fun of Shulchan Shulzov, and they brought in front of the host a golden table. Masui Shisha Asor Bnei Adam. It was so heavy that you needed 16 people to carry it. And this, again, would probably fit under Rashi's explanation before of something that's a guzma. It's an exaggeration, but it definitely conveys the idea that it was a very expensive table. And furthermore, b'sheshes rei shalshalois shel kesef v'osbo, and there were 16 golden silver chains attached to it. Uka'oros v'kosos v'kitonios v'tsuchios k'vosbo. These are different types of utensils for eating. The koros are like bowls, and kosos are cups. Kitonios and tsuchios, different types of flasks, were affixed to this table. The olav kolmine maichol. There were on this table lots of different kinds of food, the chomine megodim, and all types of delicacies, ubesamim, and fragrances. Ukshamanichim oiso omrim, and when they placed the table down, they declared Vashem haoretz umloa, that the world and its contents are of Hashem. Ukshamasalkin oiso omrim, and when they removed it, they would say, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem Vartz Nosan Livnei Adam. The heavens are of Hashem's, and the world was given as a gift by Hashem to mankind. And Rashi points out, Vartz Nosan Livnei Adam, Al Yadei Matanosan Enenu Hatoy Vazos, that through the gift from Hashem we enjoyed these benefits. The Rashi also points out that the first Pasuk, Lashem Haaretz Umloah, is a declaration that we are not entitled to benefit from this world until we make the bracha. And this is an idea that we certainly saw in Maseches Brochos as well. The Gemara continues, Omarti lo, the visitor who was Rav Chiya bar Abba asks the host, Bini b'ma zochisa l'kach, through what did you merit all of this wealth? Omar li, and he answers, Katsov hoisi, I was a butcher, umikol behemo shehoiso noe, and every animal that was good, high quality, Omarti zu tehele Shabbos, I set it aside for Shabbos. Omarti lo ashrecha, fortunate are you, Shazochisa, that you merited this. Uborach Hamokom Shazikoch Lekach, and blessed be the Hamokom, the Almighty, that granted you this. So you see from this story the merit that one has who honors the Shabbos. Omar Le Kesar Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Bitnei Ma Tavshil Shal Shabbos Reichoi Noidev. The Caesar asks Rabbi Yeshua, What is it that causes the Shabbos foods to have such a pleasant aroma? Omar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua answers, Tavlin echod yesh lanu, we have a spice, v'Shabbos shmo, the name of the spice is Shabbos, shanu matilin l'socho, that we place in the food, the recho nodef, and it produces a pleasant aroma. Omar lo, tein lanu hemenu, so the Caesar asks, would you give us some of this? Omar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua answers, call him a shamir sa Shabbos mo'elo, he who observes the Shabbos, so this spice will benefit him. V'sheinu m'shamir sa Shabbos eino mo'elo, he who is not a Shabbos observer, so this spice will not benefit him. So of course you can see that he was describing something that with an analogy that it's in the merit of Shabbos that the food that we prepare in honor of Shabbos develops such a pleasant aroma. Omar le Reish Galusa l'Rav Hamnuna. The Reish Galusa, the exilarch, the head of the Jewish community in the exile, said to Rav Hamnuna, or he asked him, "My dichtiv likadosh Hashem mechubad." You'll notice this is a posuk from Yeshaya, Perek Nunches, posuk Yud Gimel, and on the side of the Gemara, we added a few more words from the posuk in that you find in the Tanakh. It says, "V'koroso l'Shabbos oineg l'kedosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadito." So the in this posuk we see the expression l'kedosh Hashem. So the Reish Galusa asks, what is L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubad? Amalei, Ze Yom HaKippurim. This expression of L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubad is a reference to Yom Kippur. She'ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia. It is a day in which there's no eating nor drinking. Omro Torah, the Torah nevertheless says, Kabvehu b'ksus nikiyah. How do you honor Yom Kippur? Through ksus nikiyah, through clean clothing. The Pasuk says, V'chibadito. After the expression L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubad, it then says V'chibadito. Rashi says Rav Omar Lahakdim Ushmul Omar Liacher. Before we go further, we must look at Rashi. It's absolutely essential. Rashi, on the first line under the Gemara text V'chibadito, says Ashabos Mahader. This word V'chibadito, and you shall honor it, is a reference to Shabbos, which was mentioned earlier in the pasuk. The word mechubad is already attached to Yom Kippur. The word of indicating your need to honor Yom Kippur was mentioned already. So this word, the chibadito, is a throwback to Shabbos. Now, we see two practices. You see Rav and you see Shmuel. Rav says the way you honor Shabbos is lahakdim, by having the Shabbos meal earlier than your weekday meal. That would be the way to honor Shabbos. It's interesting to note, just parenthetically, and I don't know if there's any real connection, but the Gemara says in Brochos that Rav Havitzoli Shel Shabbos Bear of Shabbos. Rav's practice was to actually usher in the Shabbos early, so it would then result that his Shabbos meal was earlier than his weekday meal. And Shmuel's practice was la'acher, and that was the way you honor. And how does delaying, la'acher means to delay. Delay the Shabbos meal to a time later than you would a weekday meal. So the idea of the honor is that you develop you work up a greater appetite, and sitting down to a meal with a great appetite is a way to honor something. In fact, this idea you see from Maseches Psochim, the 10th parak of Psochim, the whole concept of eating the matzah with a sense of desire is called there it's a hiddur mitzvah, a way to honor the mitzvah. So our Gemara continues. Omru le b'nei Rav Papa bar Abba li Rav Papa, the sons of Rav Papa asked their father, Kegon Anan d'shchiach lon bisro b'chamro kol yoyma, we, coming from a wealthy family, have meat and wine every day. B'mai nishanye, through what can we demonstrate a difference with regard to Shabbos from other days? Amalu, so Rav Papa answers, I regilusi l'agdumei achrua. If you are accustomed to eating your morning meal early, so have your Shabbos meal a bit later. I regilusi l'achrua, if your custom is to have it later, akdumua, have it earlier. So that we see that Rav Papa is reflecting the opinions or the practices that Rav and Shmuel had just mentioned. The Gemara continues, Rav Sheshes, it's worth pointing out, as Rashi does, that Rav Sheshes was blind. You can see in, where the double star in the Rashi is, Rav Sheshes Sagi Nor Hoya, Ve'enu Roe Eis Wachila. Rav Sheshes was Sagi Nor is an expression, which means literally a lot of light, but it means he was blind, it's a euphemism, and he didn't see, he couldn't see the where the sun was positioned in order to know when eating time came. And you could also say he was blind, so he couldn't take advantage of a sundial or a watch if it was contemporary. So what did he do? Shadorish b'Shabbos, when he would lecture on Shabbos, Moishiv haTamidim b'Mokoim shetagia shom hachamo li'eis ha'oichel, he positioned them where the sun would start to beat down, would start to shine down at the time that people would ordinarily eat. Kedei shiitstaru, so that they would get hot, v'yemaru lokum, and then they would get up. The Gemara now. Rav Sheshes, b'kaito is the summertime, Mosibluhu Rabbonan, he would place the Rabbonan in a position or in a location, Hecho de Matyo Shimsha, where the sun would reach that spot when the time came for eating. And this is for Mosibluhu Rabbonan Hecho de Matyo Tula. And in the wintertime, he would position them in such a location where the shade, Tula is shade, where shade would be cast when the time for eating came. Kiyechi de Lakumu, hey means quickly. We saw this word hey earlier on the Omid, where we saw in the story of fetching for meat, and he came and said, Ashu hey, work quickly. This was the story we saw above involving Rebbe Abba at the end of the fourth wide line of the Gemara. So he, in this story with Rav Sheshes in the wintertime, he placed them at a spot where the shade would be cast, and in the shade in the winter it's obviously much colder, and they would then get up to their meal. Rebbe Zera, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mehader Azuzi Zuzi Derabonan. Rashi at the top, Mehader Azuzi Zuzi Derabonan, Kshiroya Oison Zugo Zugos, when he would see his students or different students, Torah scholars in pairs, Umedabrin Betura, and they were talking in Torah learning, they were discussing Torah subjects amongst themselves, as is the way, is the custom of Torah scholars. Mechazer Achrem, he would pursue them, the Omer Lahem, and Rabbi Zera would tell them, Bematusa Minchon, please, I beg of you, Lechu v'isasku ba'oineg Shabbos, go home, go eat your meal. V'lose chalalune levatel tanugim, and don't violate the Shabbos by diminishing the time and the preoccupation with enjoying the dainties and the delicacies. A fantastic illustration of how important it is to be ma'aneg, to experience pleasure on Shabbos, even to the point that he was encouraging them to stop their Torah discussions and go take advantage of the Oinik Shabbos. So let's read this now in the Gemara text. We said Mahader, he would seek out Zuzi Azuzi Zuzi Rabbonin, pairs of Rabbonin who were engaged in Torah discussions. Omar Le and Rabbi Zer would tell them, "B'matusa minaychu, I beg of you, lo sechaluni, don't desecrate the Shabbos." And the desecration is in this form of delaying the pursuit of the Shabbos pleasures. Omar Rava Vitema Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rava says, and some versions have Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Afilu Yochanan Mispalo Be'erev Shabbos. Here we're going into a different topic, and on the side we mentioned under our Nosei heading, Vayechulu B'tfilah, the recitation of the Vayechulu passage after the Friday night, after the Mairiv davening on Shabbos. So the Vayechulu passage is recited, and we also have that passage recited as part of the introduction to the Kiddush Friday night. So Rava says, Afilu Yochanan Mispalo Be'erev Shabbos, even if someone is davening in private, Erev Shabbos, that's Friday night, Tzorech Lomar Vayechulu. In other words, that must be said as part of the Arvis, the Friday night davening. The Rashi at the second line from the top says, Vayechulu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, let's hold off on this Rashi, what's really needed for the next piece of Gemara. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice we have a marking which features a double underline. These are two memros that have to do with one who says Vayechulu and what that is equal to or what it merits. So as we just learned, that even if you're davening in private, and why it says even, because the Vayechulu passage is associated, generally speaking, with the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, or we should say the partial repetition of the Friday night Shemoneh Esrei, which is something unique to the Friday night davening. In general, generally speaking, Arvis does not have a repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, in contrast with Mincha and Shacharis. But in the case of Friday night, so there were passages recited after the Shemoneh Esrei, and here it's the Gemara saying, even if you're davening in private, when you don't have the repetition passage of the Friday night davening, nevertheless, the individual is expected to say Vayechulu, which is one of the passages recited after the Shemoneh Esrei. The Omer HaMlino, Kol Mispal Be'erev Shabbos, V'Omer Vayechulu, he who davens Erev Shabbos and says that paragraph, which is the paragraph which announces that the Kodesh Baruch Hu finished the 6 days of creation, and it is now Shabbos that he comes to rest, so to speak. So he who says Vayechulu Erev Shabbos, Ma'alov HaKosuv, the Torah considers him Ki'ilu Nasa Shutuf LaKodesh Baruch Hu B'Maisiv Reishis. He is considered like a partner with the Almighty in the act of creation. Shenemar, the pasuk itself uses the word Vayechulu. That means that they were completed. Al Tikri Vayechulu, don't read it as that, but rather Vayecholu means they finished. And Rashi points out on the second line from the top, who is Vayicholu? They finished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh shemesaper b'shvachol shel makom u'b'shevach shel Shabbos. The Almighty, and he who is praising the Almighty and the Shabbos. So you see, he along with the Almighty is considered a partner in creation. Omar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shadibur kemaisa. From where do we know that speech is like action? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Bidvar Hashem shamayim naasu." The bidvar is the speech of Hashem. The heavens were naasu, were made. So we see that through speech, speech equals action, activity and action. Omar of Chizda, Omar Mar Ukva, another maimra concerning the recitation of Vayechulu, says, "Kol mispal be'erev Shabbos yomer Vayechulu." He who davens erev Shabbos and says this passage. Shnei Malachi Ashori Samalavin Lolu Adam, the two angels that accompany a person, Manichim Yideim Al Rosho, they place their hands on his head, the Omrim Lo, and they say, V'sar Avonecha V'chatoscha Tuchupar, that your sins will be removed and atoned for. Tanya. And we see a framed section, a Tanaic source. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Shnei Malachi Ashrois, Lavin Lola Adam Be'erev Shabbos, two accompany angels, service angels accompany a person on Friday night, Mibes HaKnesses Lebesa, from the shul to his house, Echo Toiv Ve'echadra. One angel is considered a good angel, and the other one is a non-not-so. And when this person comes home and finds the candles lit, the table set up, and the beds prepared, Malach Tov Omer, the good angel, declares and says, "Yehi rotzon shtei l'Shabbos acheres kach," that it should be the will that next Shabbos it should be the same, just like this. Umalach ra'oina omein baal korcho, and the negative angel says omein, which is an affirmation, an expression of affirmation, against his will. In other words, he has to concede to what that which the Malach Tov said. V'im lav, if however a person comes home to a situation not like that which we described, namely the house is in disarray, things are not ready, Malach Ra Omer Yehi Rotzon Shtei L'Shabbos Acheres Kach. So the negative angel declares that it should be the will that next Shabbos it should be the same way. Malach Tov Omein Baal Korcho, and against his will, the positive angel affirms that. Omer Reb Elazar Li'olam Yisadir Adam Shulchanu Be'erev Shabbos. A person should accustom himself to setting up his table on Friday, even if all that he has to eat is an olive quantity of food. A person should accustom himself to setting up his table at the end of Shabbos, the exiting of Shabbos, even if all that he will need or eat is an olive quantity of food. This, by the way, is a reference to what we call the Malava Malka. Rashi says on the third line from the top in Motzoi Shabbos, Nami Kavod Shabbos Lavos Bitziyosu Der Kavod. It is tantamount to an act of accompanying the Shabbos away, which is a sign of respect. Odom Halava Es Hamelech, but say something here, just like people accompany the king as he is leaving the city. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're at the fourth line under the Tosfos. Chamin b'motzoi Shabbos melugma. That means to chamin is hot, to bathe in hot water, bathe and drink hot water on Saturday night. Melugma is of a healthful nature. Pas chamo b'motzoi Shabbos. Warm bread on Saturday night, melugma, is also healthful. Rabbi Avo, have avdin le ba'puki shabbato. Rabbi Avo, they made for him at the exiting of Shabbos. The apuki is the departure of Shabbos. Igla tilsa. Igla tilsa is a third-born calf. It is a desirable type meat. Have ochel mine kuyusa, and all that Rabbi Avo ate from it was its kuvia, its kidney. In other words, an entire animal was slaughtered and prepared for the purpose of the kuvia. Kigodal Avimi bre, when his son Avimi got older, Omarle, so Avimi asks his father, Rabbi Avo, Lomaloch lafsudi kule hai, why do you have to waste so much nishbo kuyusa mimali shabbata? Assuming, of course, that the kuya is a kidney, an animal has two kidneys, so why not leave over one of the kidneys from Erev Shabbos for now, for Saturday night? Shavkuhu, so they left it over. The Osa Aryeh Achle, Rashi says, Achle Aryeh La'egel Haroi Vishchot. In other words, they attempted to save the need of shechting, of slaughtering a second animal Saturday night. So instead of them saving the animal that would have been used had it not been for Avimi's advice, that animal was in fact consumed by a lion. So they saved nothing by trying to save. We continue in the Gemara with another series marking. You can see the diamond shape, and this highlights different two memoras of Chazal dealing with the answering of Omein. And why this is brought in here, it could be that it's associated with the, we just saw in the Tanaic source above, the Malach, the respective Malachim, the Malach Tov and the Malach Ra, answering Omein. So, in the spirit of Omein, we continue. Kol ha'omer v'shuv ben Levi, kol ha'oine Omein, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach B'chol Koychoi. He who answers that passage when the Kaddish is recited, and he says Yehei Shmei Rabo, he says Omein and Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. Let the name of the Almighty be great, and he does so B'chol Koycho with all his energy. Korin Lo Gezar Dino. If there was an evil edict against him, it is torn up. Rashi adds, very importantly, the term b'chol kocho, Rashi says b'chol kavonosa, with all of his concentration and intent. Without Rashi, so b'chol kocho would mean with all his strength, and it would then justify screaming out this passage, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. But Rashi says that b'chol kocho means with all of his strength of concentration and intent. Tosfos points out that there is another girsa, and he says that they would say, it says in this alternative girsa, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach B'kol Ram. B'kol Ram means in a loud voice. But again, all it says is B'kol Ram, meaning it could be audible, something that one can hear, but it doesn't necessarily serve as a justification for some unbridled screaming of that. Nevertheless, we get the idea that this is an important passage to answer with intent, and combining it with Tosfos of Pshat, it should be audible. He merits having any evil decree against him torn up. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Befroa pros b'Yisrael, behisnadev am borchu Hashem. My time of befroa pros. Now befroa pros means the being mevatel peronos, means the cancellation of a negative decree. So why does befroa pros, the cancellation of a negative decree, take place? Mishum de borchu Hashem, as the pasuk indicates, because they blessed Hashem, and that is accomplished by the recitation of the Omein Yehei Shmei Rabo passage. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rafi Yesh bo Shemet shel Avodah Zorah, even if a person has a bit of idolatry in his practice, in other words, he's been a bit sinful in idolatry, Mochalin lo, he will be forgiven because of his responding with the passage of Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. And how does Rabbi Chiya know this? Ksiv hocha befra pros, you see the expression that we just cited from the Pasuk in Shoftim Perek Hey, Uksiv Hosam, and it says in the context of the golden calf, which was a form of idolatry, Ki Porua Hu. So through the word comparison, we see the bittle of idolatry, the atonement for that violation. Omer Eish Lakish, Kol Ha'ina Omein B'chol Koychoi. Here it's Omein in isolation. Anyone who answers Omein with all his strength, and as we saw before, it means all his kavona. Poislin lo Share Gan Eden. The gates of the Garden of Eden are opened up for him. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Pishu Shorim V'Avo Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim. Al Tikri Shomer Emunim. Don't read it as that. Rather, Elo Sha'oimrim Omein. You can see the similarity in expressions. So the pasuk we just read opened up with the expression Pishu Shorim, open the gates and let the righteous nation enter. And who is that? The ones who answer Omein. My Omein. What does the word represent? Omar Rabbi Chanina, Kael, Melech Neman. It's an abbreviation. The three letters spell out, are an abbreviation of these three words. And the Tosfos says that Tzorch Laharibo B'Shol Shomer Omein. A person should think about, when a person says Omein, he should think about the Almighty as the King who is trustworthy. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Brei Rav Shmuel, Mishmei Rav, Ein Hadleiko Mitzuya El B'mokim Shiesh Chilu Shabbos. Fires are not found other than places where there is Shabbos violation, desecration of Shabbos. Shenemar, v'imlo sishmu elai l'kadesh es yom ha-Shabbos l'vilti se'es maso. If in the pasuk so far says, if you don't heed me and observe the Shabbos, v'hitzati esh b'shorel v'ochlo armenos yushalayim v'lo sichbe. The castles the palaces of Yerushalayim will be consumed by fire. My velosichbe, the pasuk says, their fire will burn, and it says it will not be extinguished. What is that? What is the seemingly redundant expression indicate? Amar of Nachbar Yitzchok b'shah she'ein b'nei odom mitzuyin l'chabosa. The pasuk is speaking specifically about fires that break out on Shabbos at a time when people are not available to put it out. That's a reference to Shabbos. So it's, if one doesn't observe Shabbos, so on Shabbos itself, a fire will break out, a time at which people cannot put it out, and will consume what it does. Omar Abaye, and here we have a new series, quite an extensive series of triangles, and on the side under our Nose Mivneh heading, we indicate that the triangles are Sidra of Lo Chorvo Yerushalayim Ela. A series of explanations as to what were contributing factors for the destruction of Yerushalayim. So even though each one of these expressions says that this is the reason Jerusalem was destroyed, Tosfos elsewhere says that in fact each one of these were a contributing factor. So we start our series, Omar Abaye, Lo Chorvo Yerushalayim Ela B'Shvil Shechilu Bo Eser Shabbos. The destruction of Yerushalayim came around because of the desecration of Shabbos, Shenemar. It says, U'mishabsosai he'elimu einehem vo eichal besocham. Because they hid their eyes from Shabbos, so they were desecrated, and hence they were destroyed. Omar Rabbi Avo, lo chor v'Yerushalayim elo b'shvil shebitlu kriyash masharas v'arvis. Yerushalayim was destroyed because people abandoned the recitation of kriyashma in the morning and in the evening. Shenemar, posuk Yud Aleph in Yeshaya Hey says, Hoi mashkime baboker shecho yurdofu. The posuk goes on to say where the Vagomer is. So it goes on to say, and we've indicated this on the side of the Gemara, Ma'achre Baneshef Yayin Yadlikem. Woe unto those that wake up intoxicated in the morning, because in the evening they were lit with wine. Uksiv, and it says in Posuk Yud Beis, V'hoya kinor v'nevel toif v'cholil v'yayin mishtehem v'espoal Hashem lo yabitu. The description of these people who are involved with intoxication are also involved with music and wine as their drink. They don't notice the workings of Hashem. Uksiv, lochein golo ami mibli das. And then it leads to what it says in Posuk Yud Gimel, that my nation is exiled, which is associating, we're associating that with the destruction of Jerusalem as a result. So one can well imagine that people who are at night preoccupied with drinking, waking up late in the morning, intoxicated, they won't be fulfilling Kriyat Shema, Shacharis, nor Arvis. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Lo Chorvo Yerushalayim El Bishvil Shebitlu Bo Tinoikis Shel Beis Rabon. The destruction of Jerusalem is associated with those who caused the youngsters to abandon their Torah learning. In other words, that caused the children not to pursue Torah study. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Shvoch Al Olol Bachutz. Now, this posuk is a posuk indicating destruction. As Rashi says, Shvoch al Olal, Reisha Dekra, the beginning of the posuk says, V'es Hamas Hashem Nil'esi Hachil Shvoch V'chulei, Shvoch HaChamo B'nekoma B'shvil She'olo Lachutz V'tem Beis Rabban. So we're talking about the spilling of wrath as a result of the Olol. Olol is the youngster is outside. And that's what the Gemara now says at the end of the line, Ma Tam Shvoch, why is there a spilling of wrath on the people? Because Mishum de Olol, because the child is outside, he's not learning, he's not studying Torah. Omar Ula, Lo Chorv Yerushalayim El Bnei Shelo Hoyu Lahem Boishes Ponim Zeh Mizeh. Jerusalem was destroyed because people lacked a sense of shame one from the other. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, and it's important to note the context of the Pasuk. It's also from Yirmiyo Perek Vav, in this case, Pasuk Tes Vav. It says, Hovishu ki to'eva asu gambosh lo yevoshu. And as we said before, the context here is the destruction of Yerushalayim. And in the Pasuk it says, Kibosh lo yevoshu, they had no shame one from the other. Omer of Yitzchak, the Gemara continues with another statement, Lo harvo Yerushalayim elo b'shvil she'ushvu katan v'gadol. Destruction came because equality was made between the small with the great. Shenemar v'hoyo ke'am kikoin. The commoners were like the Kohen, like the priests. Uksiv basre havok tavok haaretz. And this expression means destruction. So that because they equated this concept of universal equality, no distinctions between he who is great and he who is common, that results in destruction. Omar of Amram, Braid Reb Shimon Bar Abba, Omar of Shimon Bar Abba, Omar of Yichanina, Lo Chorvo Yerushalayim Elo Bishvil Shelo Hochichu Ze Ezeh. The destruction came as a result of non-chastisement one of the other. Shenemar, Hoyu Soreh Ke Ayolim Lo Motsu Mir'eh. Again, a posuk in this case from Echa, the Book of Lamentations, which describes the destruction, the destroyed state of Yerushalayim. So it says in the pasuk that their ministers were like ayolim, and the ayol is a ram. Ma ayol ze roshu shel ze b'tzad znovo shel ze, as the rams are in a flock, they walk head to tail. The head of one is attached to the tail of the one ahead of it. Af Yisrael shebo'isador, so to the Jewish people of that generation, kovshu pnei b'karka, they hid their heads in the ground, and did not admonish one another. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chorvu Shalayim El Bishvil Shebizu Bo Tamidei Chachamim, because of the disparagement of Torah scholars, the destruction of Jerusalem took place. Shenemar Vayu Malivim B'Malachei Halakim Uvoizim Dvarav U'Mitateim B'Neviyav Ad alos chamas Hashem ba'amo ad li'ein marpei. So the pasuk describes mal'ivim, those that scorned, that embarrassed, that disparaged the angels of Hashem, and those that were mevaze, disparaged his words. All of these different expressions you can see from Rashi The pasuk's reference to Benaviov, his prophets. So Rashi says, "Elu tamidei chachamim." Those are the scholars. Shenemu v'navi levav chachma. So that in this pasuk, the Benaviov is a reference to the tamidei chachamim, and they were disparaged. So until the wrath of Hashem rose so much so that there was no solution. Ein marpei. After the brackets, the Gemara will continue with the topic of the destruction of Yerushalayim. But in the meantime, we have this bracketed section. You'll notice, if you skip the bracketed section, by the way, there is a bracket length indicator. This you'll notice as a dash dotted vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. It takes you down quite a few lines, after which you see the continuation of the triangles that we've been featuring till now. So that having been said, we continue now with the bracketed section, which focuses on this expression of Ein Marpe. My Adli Ein Marpe, what does it mean that the wrath of Hashem will come forth until there is no healing? Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kol HaMevazet Tamini Chachomim Ein Lo Refuah LaMakoso. He who disparages Torah scholars has no healing for his injuries. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai Dechtiv Al Tigu B'Meshichoy U'Vinivyai Al Toreu. Who is alluded to in that pasuk? In other words, don't afflict my Meshichai, my anointed ones, and my prophets. Don't deal falsely. Don't deal evil with them. Al Tigu B'Meshichoy Elu Tinokes Shel Beis Rabban. That is a reference to children who are studying Torah. U'Vinivyai Al Toreu. Elu Talmidei Chachamim. That's a reference to Torah scholars. So the Pasuk is warning very much against afflicting or dealing falsely with children who are studying Torah and with Torah scholars. We have in the markings, we have a series of comments, made by Reish Lakish that we feature with a diamond, with a colored in tip. So, Omar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. And we should point out that in each one of these diamonds, Rabbi Yehuda Reish Lakish is either quoting Rabbi Yehuda Nesia or addressing him. So Reish Lakish says, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Ein ha'olam miskayim ela b'shvil hevel tinokes shel beis rabban. The world is sustained, is maintained only because of the heat coming from the mouths of children studying Torah. In other words, the words of Torah that children study is that which maintains the world. Omale Rav Papa Abaye. Quite a few generations later, Rav Papa asks Abaye, after hearing this Maimer Chazal, this Maimer of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, he says, Didi v'didoch mai, what about me and you? He knows, we also study Torah. Omar Le, so Abaye says, I'm sorry to tell you that Eino Dome Hevel Sheesh Bochet Lehevel She'ein Bochet. You can't compare the Hevel. Again, we said Hevel is the heat, but it means the words that come through the breath of an individual. You can't compare the breath that has sin to the breath that has no sin. Children, being that they're under the age of bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, they are not considered sinners. They are below the age that they're held responsible for whatever they do. So they can be considered pure. So that their Torah study is pure, unlike us, even though we try very hard, but we're adults and we unfortunately stumble upon sinning from time to time, and therefore our Torah is regarded as a lower quality or lower value in this context of the maintenance of the world. The Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Ein Mevatlin Tinei Shel Beis Rabban Afilu Binyan Beis Hamikdash. One is not to stop the study of the Torah learning of children, even for the purpose of building the Beis Hamikdash. The Omar Reish Lakish L'Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, and Reish Lakish addresses Rabbi Yehuda Nesia and says, Kach Mekublani Me'avosai the Amri Law Me'avosech. Thusly, I have as a tradition, either from my forebears or from your forebears, called Ir She'ein Ba Tinoikis Shabbos Rabban, any city that doesn't have in it a school for the study of Torah for the children, Machriven Osa. Ravina Omar Machrimin Osa. So you have two versions as to what happens. Rashi points out the difference. Machriven is destruction, but something is left. Machrimin is total destruction with nothing left. The Omar Rava Lo Chorva Yerushalayim El Bishvil Sheposchu Mimeno Anshei Amona. Jerusalem was destroyed only because there ceased to be trustworthy individuals. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Shoytetu bechutzos Yerushalayim ureu na udeu uvakshu berchovisel im timtzu ish im yesh oisem mishpat mevakish emuna ve'eslach lo. The pasuk is saying, travel through the streets of Jerusalem and seek out and find, if you can find someone that is followed, that is just and seeks honesty, and I will then, if you can find someone like that, I will forgive them. We know that Jerusalem was destroyed. That is because one was unable to find someone trustworthy. And that's what was meant here, that Posku Mimeno Anshe Amona. Eini, the Gemara asks, is that so? The Omar Rav Ketina, and we should point out that the question we're starting right now is a long question. It's actually very long, and you can see its length by noticing the long question mark into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So, is it really so that the Posko Mimeno Anshe Amona, trustworthy people, ceased to be? The Omar Rav Ketina, Filibishas Kishloino Shel Yerushalayim, even at the time of the stumbling or the downfall of Yerushalayim, Lo Posko Mi meno anshe amono. There did not cease trustworthy individuals. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ki itpos ish beachiv beis aviv simlo lecha kotzin tia lanu. The Pasuk is describing a community, people grabbing a hold of their friends and saying to them, Dvorim, we continue in the Gemara, Dvorim shebnei odam miskasim boem kesimla. Rashi explains this expression, miskasim kesimla kesholen so tamei Torah halolu osin atzmon kima'alimin es divrayim v'nei she'enom yoidim lahashiv. Miskasim is to cover yourself up with a dress or with a coat. So the things that people cover themselves up with a coat, in other words, as Rashi explained, divrei Torah that are sought out, and so many people say, I don't know. They hide themselves because they don't know how to answer. Yeshnon biyodecha. You have them. That's what the, and therefore, be our leader. The pasuk goes on to say, v'hamach shelo hazos tachas yodecha. And the Gemara at the top of Kuf Chof Amud Aleph explains at the top line, Dvorim she'ein b'nei odem oimdim aleim elo im kein nichsholim behen. Those matters which people don't understand until they stumble over them several times. Yeshnon tachas yodecha, you know them. Rashi at the top says, Dvorim she'ein odem omeid aleim al buryam. People don't gain clarity, la'omron kil chosam, to say things with clarity, to say it the way they're supposed to be practiced. Elo im kein nichshol bohen, Rashi continues at the top line, ad she'omron shnayim shlosh pa'omim b'shibush, until a person says over the point of law two or three times in a mistaken way. Tainu tame Torah hamesutorim. Those are a reference to the reasons behind the Torah, the hidden words of Torah. So things like that that many people make mistakes over. So yeshnon, the Gemara at the second line from the top says yeshnon tachas yodecha. They are under your hands, literally, meaning you know them. Therefore, katsin tie lonu, as the pasuk indicated. Therefore, be our leader. So, in the meantime, what are we seeing? We see a community in which people are sought out because the general masses don't have Torah clarity. So, you have some people from the community are sought out. You have Torah clarity. Be our leader. And once again, we're quoting from Yeshaya Perek Gimel. We started with Pasuk Vav, and we now continue from the same location in Yeshaya. Yisaw bayomahu leimor lo eheyeh chovesh v'chule. That is the Pasuk, which is we'll see very shortly, is a response after someone is sought out to be the leader. The word Yisaw is ein Yisaw elo loshon shvua. The word Yisaw is an expression of oath. The person says, I swear. The chain hu omer, we see the word Yisaw in another context, lo siso es shem Hashem, in the Ten Commandments, which has to do with do not mention the name of Hashem in vain, which is the warning against false oaths. The pasuk says, lo eheye chovesh. What is that? Lo eheye mi choveshei atzmon bebeis hamedrash. I was not from those that bound themselves to the base medrash, to the place of Torah study. Ubebesi ein lechem ve'ein simla. That's the continuation of the pasuk. She'ein biyodi. After we described someone being sought out to lead them because of their supposed Torah knowledge, the person sought out responds and says, ein biyodi lo mikro v'lo mishna v'lo gemara. I don't have knowledge of these areas of Torah study. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that people were very honest. They were sought out to be leaders, and the response coming forth from them is, I don't know. The Gemara asks, Umina, Umimai, who says that this is a sign of people being honest? Dilma, shiny hossam, maybe there it's different. They were forced to acknowledge their ignorance. De omar luhu gamirno, because if they would say, we are learned, we know Torah, omru le emolon, so the public would say, okay, so then tell us what to do. Tell us the law. So the question that what we're seeing here is that the Gemara is skeptical as to this being a demonstration of their honesty, but rather they had to say we didn't study because of simple fear of being put on the spot. So the Gemara responds and says, Havele lemeimar, if they were simply saying this to cover themselves, to protect themselves from being put on the spot, then they could have said, Gomar v'shochach. We learned, but we forgot. Now, forgetting is something that's quite understandable. You know, that when a person says, I don't know, but he says at the same time, I had learned, he's preserving a certain type of importance in the eyes of others. My lo eheye chovesh, what is meant by that expression? Klal, meaning I never studied the Torah. So that let's go over the scenario. We have people being sought out because of their supposed Torah knowledge to be leaders, and those very same people said, I never studied. So from here we see, and notice we have a question mark, because this is the end of a long question. We see from here that people were very honest. They weren't just trying to cover themselves and try to preserve their dignity in the eyes of others, but they were very honest. Instead of saying, we learned but forgot, they said, you think we learned Torah? We never learned the Torah. So why do you say that they're ceased people of honesty? The Gemara says, lo kashya, kan bedivrei Torah, kan bemasu maton. As far as honesty never ceasing, that is true, but that's in the context of Torah learning. People were honest about their Torah learning. However, when it comes to business matters, that ceased. In other words, honesty in business ceased. And that's what the Gemara is referring to, four lines from the bottom of Omid Beis, of Kuf Yutes Omid Beis, where Rava says, Lo chor b'shaim ela b'shvil sheposku mimeno anshei amona, the people that you could trust in business matters ceased to exist. And that is unfortunately that which brought on the destruction of Yerushalayim. And hence, the Gemara is not a book of history. We are to learn from all of these things. At each one of these points, it crossed my mind, there's a Maimer Chazal that says, Kol dor shelo nivne Yerushalayim biyomov, malov ki'ilu chorva biyomov. So that the concept of the destruction of Yerushalayim, unfortunately, is not a historical phenomenon. It is a continuous phenomenon that until it's rebuilt, we are, by our very own behavior, guilty of destroying Yerushalayim. So that each one of these comments that we learn should be taken to heart to the ultimate in so far as if we can improve in each one of these areas, maybe we can merit the rebuilding of Yerushalayim b'mehero b'yomenu. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.